Podcast number 6, talking about Vandalia, and we're talking with Vandalia Mayor Doug Knable today, and it's a week in between meetings, so nothing from a meeting last night, but I just wanted to kind of ask you, Mayor, as you've been in the office a little over a month now since you were sworn in, so how do you feel about how things are progressing, how you feel about how things are going up to this point?
Yeah, I think so far so good. You know, I joke with people, I'm still kind of in the honeymoon phase. You know, it's only been a month. It is a little bit like drinking water through a fire hose, trying to, just absorb and learn as much as I can. Of course, you'd like to be able to fix everything overnight. And you and I have talked about several times, that's just not the way government works. But I think we've made, some real nice progress. I mean, again, I think we're addressing the things we need to address. We mentioned that, the last council meeting, we're just bringing up topics, we're having conversations, and that's where it starts. You have to have an issue, you have to talk about it, and then figure out the plan moving forward. And that's, I think so far so good. Again, a lot to learn, but happy with the progress so far and just looking forward to the future.
Has there been anything you didn't expect coming in, anything that's really kind of struck you this first month?
No, I've been around government long enough to know that, again, things don't move and progress as quickly as you would hope. It's very bureaucratic. So there is some of that frustration. We've talked a lot about the infrastructure projects and how it takes, sometimes 2 or 3 years to, especially if it's grant funded and, you've got needs now. It's not really a surprise, and I don't want to say it's a disappointment. It's just the way things are, and it's just something we've got to try to, navigate through, and we're doing that. I mean, we've got a lot of great things going on. You just, again, wish things could happen faster.
Yeah. Like you said, you brought up kind of multiple topics last week just to get the conversation sure. kind of rolling on some. One of those, we talked about that a little bit, was planning and zoning, maybe just getting down to one committee, and that would kind of streamline some things a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the way it's set up now, you could have, you have to send something to planning. Well, then they approve the plan, then it would go, I believe it went to the council, and then the council maybe referred to zoning, and again, it just seemed like, even though they are two different, distinctive type of groups, it's really, they are kind of addressing the same thing in essence. So if we can just streamline it, make it one type meeting, make one recommendation to the city council, again, because we joke sometimes, like, if you want to kill something, right, you refer it to a committee. Well, I mean, that's not the way things should happen locally. We should be able to try to accommodate. If somebody comes to the city and says, look, I want to do this, I've got an idea, I want to do this with my project, we shouldn't really be the reason that's getting held up, right? We need to do our part to streamline the process, get the approvals in place, they can move on with their idea and their project.
One thing I was thinking about this week, and talk a lot about economic development, and you guys are making progress on a new economic development director, and a lot of things people bring up is business recruitment. But I think business retention is one that people don't think about as much, but it's pretty important too.
Yeah, I think statistics will show you that 80% of your new job creation within a community comes from within. Exactly. It's not, we've even talked about this too. If we landed a company tomorrow that's going to bring in 250 jobs, the reality is, do we have the workforce to make that happen? What we really need to focus on is, work off what we have. We've got some nice employers in the community. Make sure that we're having communications with them. What are your needs? What are your struggles? To try to maybe head off potential issues. It goes back to what I've tried to say along is, we need to be proactive versus reactive, because a lot of times when you're reacting, it's too late. So again, and we're doing that. I mean, we've got Todd Tolman, on an interim basis. We're having those conversations. We've met with, some business owners. We have more meetings scheduled. So again, that's you're right. That's very important and really our focus right now, because, we're all, if Effingham, Vandalia, Greenville, we'd all be competing for maybe a new factory or a new, a new business. But, Vandalia's got to, we need to play defense. We got to protect our own and make sure the businesses we have here continue to thrive.
Yeah, because like you said, that's where a lot of the growth comes from a lot of times. And when you start competing against other communities, like you said, workforce is going to be one of the biggest questions.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you talked, you know, back when Mark Langston at Octachem, one of his challenges as he continued to expand was finding employees. And, you know, and I know, you know, St. Elmo, you know, they've had a lot of growth over there, and I think they were having challenges. It's not just Vandalia, it's all around. And, you know, we've talked about even a regional approach from economic development, because I've said all along, what's good for St. Elmo or Brownstown, you know, or good for Greenville is good for Vandalia and vice versa. So, you know, again, I think we've got a pretty solid workforce in the area. We've got some good employers. It's really not a, yeah, in an ideal world, we'd be able to go out and land some major automobile manufacturing, but that's probably not the reality. But let's work with an existing company we have to see if we can, you know, get a subsidiary or something that supplements their business that we can get interest in Vandalia and maybe, you know, build on that workforce there.
And not to be too political, but the reality is you're in a state that is going to do things a little differently when it comes to that too.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and try to stay as positive as we can. You know, Illinois is not known as the most business friendly state there.
It's a worker state.
So from a regulatory standpoint, it makes it a challenge from a tax standpoint. You know, so that's why we're very fortunate to have the companies that we do. And a lot of it's based on people who, you know, have lived here that, you know, despite those challenges you have, they love the area, you know, and they want to give back. And, you know, this is where I grew up. This is where I'm going to live and retire. And so, you know, this is where I'm going to work. And, you know, we're fortunate to have that kind of loyalty.
Well, and even Todd Toman, the kind of guy that retired, came back here. And so you get to have his expertise just because he wanted to be back here.
Yeah, I mean, he spent, you know, 30, over 30 plus years out of the Vandalia area. I mean, he was the original economic development director. But, you know, after a successful career that ended at AgriCell, you know, him and his wife, strong Vandalia roots, you know, natives of the area, wanted to come back and call Vandalia home and you know, retire here. And yes, I said that at the very first meeting. I said we would be, in my opinion, missing an opportunity if we didn't take advantage of that expertise. And, you know, again, he was willing to help. And so, again, he's bridging a gap. You know, we're making nice progress on the economic development position. And, you know, hopefully, you know, have some real positive movement moving forward here soon.
One thing that's been talked about off and on at meetings over a long period of time is city cleanup. And there's been a lot of buildings over the past few years, a lot of homes that have been torn down. So there has been progress in that, but I know people sometimes get a little impatient with that one too.
Yeah, I actually spent about an hour with Zach last week going through his book. So he, you know, I think the number is about 30 homes in the last 3 years or so that the city's taken down. You know, and that's, again, that's kind of a double-edged sword too, because it's like, well, when you remove houses, you're taking the houses off the tax roll. Well, yeah. Believe me, if the city's taking a property down, chances are the taxes probably aren't being paid, or they're being bought by some out of town group that's trying to get the real estate. But then when they realize the condition the property's in, they don't want any part of that, right? So again, I think we have taken a pretty proactive approach. But again, spending, you know, an hour with Zach last week, he's got a book of about another 18 homes that I would say they're at least on a, I don't say watch list, but their homes we're aware of. You know, and I've asked him, and he's actually going to come to the next council meeting. So, you know, he gives a monthly report, but this way, you know, he's going to come periodically, and that way the council can ask him specific questions about property. He's very engaged, but as we have also discussed in the past, it's a legal process. Mm-hmm. You know, unfortunately, in some cases, you know, we have to go through, you know, the legal loopholes to get, not loopholes, but the legal process, I should say, to get to the end result, which is, again, get these houses, especially these ones that are dangerous. You know, we got to get them removed. You know, it helps the city aesthetically. And it actually makes, we've had a situation recently, we had a couple empty lots, so, you know, we now can sell them and maybe somebody will build a home or, you know, improve that property. And that's the ultimate goal.
That's the thing. Somebody drives by and they see a home in disrepair. They see it's, you know, people get angry about it, and right, understandable, sure. But it's not a process you guys can fix immediately.
No. And again, I think, you know, based on my conversations, again, Zach is very, very engaged with those property owners. You know, you try to work a solution out in the front end, right? You don't want to go right to the, well, we're going to, you know, fine you, or, you know, and then, you know, put a lien on your property and ultimately get control of the property and then put it out for bid and take it down. In a perfect world, we work with the homeowner, the property owner, and say, you know, is there something we can do to help? You know, we really need you to clean up your property. And I think for the most part, it's pretty successful. Again, a town of our size, there are always those properties. But that's definitely going to be an ongoing focus moving on. And, you know, again, I think we've done a nice job, but, you know, we're going to continue to really focus on that area moving forward.
And I think Ryan Connors said it at one of the meetings, city attorney, it's never going to end. It's always going to be a process you're working on.
Right. Exactly. And it goes, but it's a planning, right? So I've said this, whether it's property or economic development or tourism, again, it's all about having a plan, you know, and that's, we're going to revisit the strategic plan, you know, in July. And, you know, again, that's part of it too, is the housing situation and what do we have? And, you know, we have a kind of a lack of it, you know, what we call affordable housing. But part of that as well is the cleanup of the community. You know, and it's not just houses. I mean, there's some other commercial type properties. You know, we're focusing on the, you know, when you get off the interstate, what's the first thing you see? What's the first, you know, impact or, you know, impression you're going to have of the city? And so we have a tourism committee meeting tomorrow. One of the things that we brought up is signage, you know, potentially looking at some new signage that's more uniform and consistent throughout all of our properties. Again, it's part of the process, but, you know, we're at least having the conversation.
Hey, we talked at length about the tourism center building and what should be done there. And I know that that's still kind of on the back burner at the moment, but that was a conversation that, you know, got a lot of comments last week.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's a unique building. You know, unfortunately, it's the economics of it, right? So if you want to renovate that building, it's going to be expensive, you know, and then the question comes in, you know, do we need a tourism? Do we need a brick and mortar building? Right. My whole point, and the reason I brought it up was, you know, being a commercial lender in my real job, that's great real estate. I mean, it is, you know, it's some of the best real estate in Vandalia. And again, it's that first impression when you get off the interstate. So we have to do something there. I understand the council and, you know, hopefully we're going to get a tourism person. That's the next area of focus after we get the economic development position filled. You know, but we need to figure out what we're going to do with that piece of real estate, because again, in my opinion, that's one of the very first impressions you get of the community when you get off the interstate.
You know, speaking of tourism, and I was kind of thinking about this, this weekend is a big weekend with Grand Levee going on Saturday, the farmer's market Saturday morning. Charter's Patio's gotten going. So a lot of the bigger things that go on tourism-wise to bring people to town going on this weekend and right around here. And you have Old Time Christmas. You got Summerfest coming up at the lake a little bit later this month. Don't really have anything in the fall. So is that something maybe to have a tourism person look at? Or you think maxed out?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, I think what we had in the past, you know, the Historical Society had the Wine and Ale with Abe. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that went away for different reasons. You're right. There's probably a gap in that at the end of August when kids go back to school, that September, October. You know, and to me, that's the best time of the year. I love October in Illinois. The weather's, you know, when the leaves and everything. So, yeah, absolutely. I think that's part of what the new tourism person will do is, you know, we used to have a lot more festival-related things downtown back, even going way back when we had the Vandalia Main Street program. You know, and again, I keep saying this too, I keep preaching this, our downtown is beautiful. I mean, there's been a ton of money invested in that, and we need to showcase that. And, you know, and one of the ways we do that is have events like that. So absolutely, you know, getting us something. And again, I'd love to see personally an event similar to the Wine and Ale with Abe, you know, in some form come back. Cause I really thought that was a great event. And, you know, again, I understand there were some challenges with it, but, I think with a tourism person, we can, you know, definitely come up with something.
That is a tough thing because now it's either it's falling on volunteers or it falls on the city a lot of times. So getting somebody in that position will help a lot.
Yeah, no, I mean, at the end of the day, it's hard to govern by committee. I mean, you really, whether it's in business or in government, you need to have somebody, the point person, you need to have somebody ultimately responsible, you know, kind of to drive the bus or drive the train. So the fact that both in the ED and the tourism that it's been as long as it has been without somebody in that role, has been a challenge. And again, I think that's why it's been my focus from the beginning, is to get those positions filled. And you know, again, I'm optimistic that, within a couple of months, we can make real progress in both of those areas.
And looking at that, you know, that's one of the things when you get into a position, you want to make sure that, hey, I want to hit the ground running. And you feel like you've done that.
Yeah, no, I'm very happy with, the first month so far. Again, you wish you had a magic wand and you could wave and just accomplish everything you want to accomplish. That's just not the way it is. But I think I've met with most of the department heads. And I've said this in the past too, well, Todd, we've got great people in place in the city. That makes my job a lot easier. And again, I'm not a micromanager. My job as mayor is not to micromanage. I'm here, again, to be an advocate for our employees, an advocate for our city. That's my job, and that's the role that I will fully embrace. So there's a lot of good movement going on. I mean, again, it's a process. It takes a while. But I'm very optimistic after the first month, from my interaction with not only aldermen but the other employees of the city. The future is very, very bright, and I think there's going to be some exciting announcements coming up soon.
Speaking of that, toward the end here, anything else you want to touch on this week?
No, I think we've got the council meeting coming up Monday night. We've a couple things. There's been discussion of the business district, right? And mm-hmm. that discussion will be being revisited. There was also some, recently, if you followed social media, the energy agreements. There's been questions about that. So we've invited the gentleman, I think it's from Homefield, who the city has their agreement with. He's coming to the council to answer questions. We've got things like that. We're just going to try to address issues as they come up, and then... So just looking forward to the council meeting next week. I think I shared with you our next podcast. If we can, I've invited, Jeff Ray, our chief of police, to come give us an update, on the police side of things, also some E911 stuff. Just looking forward to keep the momentum moving forward.
All right. Very good. This is Mayor Doug Knable. This was podcast number 6, talking about Vandalia. And do want to thank our sponsors, F&B Community Bank and Heck Chevrolet.